Come on, give it up for our Go Kids.
Good job.
Great job, kiddos. All right, all right. Pastor Richard and I are going just to speak to you guys just for a moment here, really to hopefully encourage you and build your faith for this Christmas season.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Pastor Richard, I know a lot of us in here have a good family Christmas stories, but I want you to go ahead and tell us a Christmas story from your family.
Sure. Well, me and my wife, we try to be good parents. You know, we try to instill values that probably all of you guys try to instill in your kids, or if you don't have kids, maybe one day you will, like patience and kindness and generosity and sharing. And one Christmas a couple of years ago, we were traveling to West Tennessee, and we actually stayed at a hotel on Christmas Eve, and so we woke up Christmas morning at the hotel, and we had brought all the presents with us in the van, and so Christmas morning, we unpacked all the presents, and the kids were there, and you know, the thing you really want to see about your kids in Christmas morning is they're thankful. They read who it was from, and you know, if there's a card, you want them to read the card and carefully undo all the wrappings. But our kids were kind of like wild dogs when the bread comes.
Kind of like the Christmas story.
Kind of like the hounds on the Christmas story.
Yeah, they just came in.
It was like, you know, it was just like a feeding frenzy of wrapping paper everywhere. And I just got angry. You know, you don't want to be angry on Christmas because it's all about Jesus, right?
Right.
But I got angry and I just yelled out. I said, Jesus did not come for this. This is not what Christmas is all about. I had to go talk a long walk down the hallway.
Oh, champ.
That was a memory.
Did they survive your kids? They still love Christmas?
Most of them.
Oh, okay. You know, mine, Pastor Richard, I was about 6 years old, and my brother was four. I pretty much told this, so some of you guys have already heard this story, but some haven't. And my brother, who was four, was wondering, is the man in the big red suit, is he real? Is he real? And so that Christmas.
The Kool-Aid man?
Yeah, the Kool-Aid man, exactly. So my parents usually did the Christmas shopping together, but this kind of leading up to Christmas, my mom actually assigned my dad to do it. And my dad's kind of like me. He doesn't go shopping very much, but when he does go, he spends way too much money. And so we woke up Christmas morning, and my brother and I, obviously very early, Pastor Richard, probably 4 o'clock in the morning, go in, and I'm telling you, there were presents from one end of the room to the other. I mean, our mouths were wide open, and my brother got so excited. He took off running as fast as he could. He Supermans it right into my mom and dad's bed, jars them, wakes them up, and says, Mommy and Daddy, man, I know that Santa is real because there is no way you guys could afford all these gifts. I mean, to him, it was settled, champ. He is real. You know, Pastor Richard, we are in a series entitled Great Expectations. And we really are believing for something that is real.
That's right.
And that's why we have called this series Great Expectation, Dare to Believe for the Impossible.
That's right.
Christmas, guys, is really a special time. But it's the time, as Pastor Richard is going to focus on today, that we often get focused on the wrong thing at Christmas time.
Right.
And because we focus on the wrong thing, what happens a lot of times is discouragement sets in. A lot of you maybe today find yourself, you say, Pastor Lance, you're talking about great expectations. Hold on now. Do you know what's going on in my life? I'm discouraged. Things are not going so well right now. I don't have very much hope. We're coming into the new year. I don't have much hope for the new year. Today, I'm telling you, you're going to leave encouraged because what Pastor Richard and I are going to focus on today is going to build your faith. See, as a follower of Christ, there is a hope on the inside of us that gives us the power, get this, and the grace to look to what's ahead. The Bible clearly communicates that the latter is going to be greater than our past.
So
he says in Ephesians 3:20 that God does exceedingly, get this, abundantly above all that you could ever ask or imagine. This is the kind of hope that we have stepping into the Christmas season, but also stepping into 2017. God cannot use a discouraged Christian. So today, we're going to drive out discouragement, and we're going to call forth encouragement. We're going to call forth faith. Are you guys with me today? And we're going to start off reading Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Can I read those from screen, Yvette, please? Verses 18 to 19. And Pastor Richard is going to read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. The Bible says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, intimate relationship, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, that's key for us today, that he was a just man, he was a righteous man, meaning that he was a man of God. This was not an unbeliever, but a believer. Being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce. This is another key for us today, her quietly. Pastor Richard?
Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 7, it says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up there also with from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. When he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
Tremendous. You know, Christmas time is really a great time. If you know me, I like chaos sometimes. I can kind of function in chaos. Things are chaotic. They don't bother me. And so this is why I probably like Christmas a lot.
That's dysfunctional.
Don't tell them that, though. They think that I'm just being smart. But that's why Christmas time is a lot of fun for me. But I will say this, that it can be difficult, especially when all the family starts to come over. Now, for my family, my wife and I, we have made the decision that on Thanksgiving, we will go see the family. But at Christmas time, if they want to see us, they have to come to us. We have way too many kids for that. But that can be very, as your word you just used, dysfunctional, chaotic. Because I come from a divorce family, and so my dad's showing up, my mom is showing up, my dad's showing up with his wife, my mom's coming. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what's going to happen with this? Who knows about Cousin Eddie? I mean, is he going to show up as well? We all have cousins like that.
Yes, we do.
And so because the family's showing up, it oftentimes can become very chaotic, very distracting, you can become very anxious, you become very worried, how's this going to be, how people are going to respond, are the kids going to be okay? All these emotions and things rises on the inside of you. And this is why we get so distracted about really what Christmas is all about. Because here's what happens. Is we oftentimes at Christmas, all of our attention and all of our focus, all of our energy is spent on what is happening. And we have said this before. Pastor Richard's done a great job throughout this series, just reminding us. We love the Christmas tree. We love gifts. We love the lights. But none of that has anything to do with biblical Christmas. Nothing. We love them. We love those. I love those. And so because of all of this, because of what is happening, it distracts us. See, Christmas is not about celebrating, get this, what is happening. Christmas is about celebrating what has happened over 2,000 years ago, that this Jesus came into the world. But the reason why we so struggle as we come into the Christmas season or come into 2017 with having a great expectation is because, Pastor Lance, you don't know my situation. You don't know what's going on in my life. And this could be good or bad because we never want to build our lives on, get this, what's happening. Because what's happening will always change. But what has happened, that is eternal. And this is the same thing, Pastor Richard, Mary was facing when the promise came to her.
Now, you think about Mary 2,000 years ago. Let's get our minds off the 2016 Christmas season and focus a couple of thousand years ago. There was this teenage girl. Many people say she was around 15, sometimes 14, maybe 16 years old. And she was found pregnant.
Wow.
Before her marriage could really be united. And you think about today, that's not the coolest thing in the world for you to become a teenage mom. But think about 2,000 years ago. When our culture was their culture was a lot more strict. But this good news came to her that she was going to have a baby who was going to be the one and only Son of God. This is really great news. this is amazing. This was the word of God to this little young girl's life.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was surrounded in the midst of chaos. You might even say that the first Christmas was surrounded by a shadow of drama.
Scandal.
And scandal. I mean, you look, this is all the great recipe of a great Jerry Springer episode.
Right. That's exactly right.
I love some Jerry Springer. Amen.
Come on. Woo.
You think about this young girl, I mean, the promise of God is real, and it's just like for us. We hold on to the promises of God, but it's not always the easiest thing to come to pass, because a lot of times our family may not recognize this promise of God.
That's
you think
right.
about Mary. Mary had this baby, but people around her didn't recognize that promise was immediately from God. We see even what we read a minute ago, that Joseph secretly sought
wow.
to divorce her.
So good.
And there's people in our lives that they may want us to divorce the promises of God. And over time, what happens is because we're not supported in these promises, people aren't on board what these promises are, a lot of times we can secretly desire to divorce the promises that God has for us.
And that's the temptation. That's the temptation. Think about Mary. Here's Mary. I mean, when she got the promise from Gabriel, I'm sure she was taken back a little bit. But I want you to think about it. So the promise comes, you're going to have a child. She's excited. She's wondering, you know, how? I don't have a husband. Gabriel tells her the Holy Spirit is going to be the one that causes this child to come forth. But think about this. Here she receives the promise, but yet the promise starts to do what? It starts to grow. And this promise, now here's the interesting thing. It was the promise that began, as it grew, to bring frustration, begin to bring chaos, anxiety, sometimes fear, persecution into her life. Now, we don't think like that. We think that the promise is what? Going to be easy street. If I promise Pastor Richard something, and he knows that I'm a man of character, he's going to say, I could trust Lance. I could just sit back and wait for it to come to pass. But when it comes to our relationship with God, when it comes to the promises that He has for us, can I tell you, my friends, that they will not be received by us just sitting back and not doing anything. Mary had to, something had to rise on the inside of her. She had to fight for the promise. She had to push past the discouragement. She had to push past all that was happening around her. And she had to remember what had happened, what had been spoken to her. And oftentimes, it is the same in our life. God makes a promise to us, but we begin to look around at what is happening. God, it's not coming to pass. Instead of what has happened, what has been spoken to you. Amen?
Amen.
See, friends, here's the thing about the promise. When you said yes to Jesus, now I know you didn't understand this, and I didn't either. You said yes, yes to Him, but you also said yes to a fight. Because we are in what the Bible calls a good fight.
That's right.
It's the good fight of faith.
Yeah.
We have entered into a fight. And I don't know about you, but when you are in a fight, man, you throw some blows,
yeah.
you land some blows, but also what happens? Some blows are landed on you as well.
Right.
And when you're in a fight, you sweat, you get tired, but the only way you lose a fight are what? You get knocked out
yeah.
or you quit. Now, thank God that the Holy Ghost is not going to knock us out. The only way we can lose is we quit. We throw in the towel.
That's right.
I love reading the book of Timothy because this is Paul, who is like a father in the Lord to this young guy named Timothy. Paul calls him his son in the Lord, meaning he led Timothy to Jesus. And he is writing a letter to Timothy because Timothy is young, Timothy is inexperienced, and Timothy is in a fight. And Paul knows, Timothy, if you don't get my letters of encouragement, you're going to give up. You're going to foul out. So he's constantly telling Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Timothy, remember the prophecies or the words of encouragement that were spoken over you. Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is in you. What's he doing? He's preparing Timothy. Timothy, you're in a fight. God has made promises to you, but you're only going to receive them as you continue to push forward, as you persevere, as you're diligent. I think about my own life. I think about my relationship with my wife. I mean, you guys have heard the story. I mean, 7 years goes by. Thought it was great. All of a sudden, boom, man, what in the world's going on? We were at it at one another. Had to go, I went to counseling, did everything. And we had a decision to make. Are we going to fight? are we going to give in? And it was every day getting up. God, I believe you called me to this woman. She's saying the same thing. God, this man's crazy, but I believe you called him to me. Lord, I'm going to fight. See, friends, God has spoken a promise to you. But really, it's not about, God, have you spoken, Pastor Richard? It's about, are you going to fight? Are you going to fight?
That's so good. You know, it's interesting how that promise can cause some pain sometimes.
Whew.
You know, it's interesting how the very thing that we believe God for, you know, one of the promises, one of the words from God and the word that I hold on to is that as for me and my house,
yeah, come on, Chad,
we will serve the Lord. And I'm believing that even as an early age, we're instilling the word of God into our kids. And, you know, who knows when that'll happen or how that'll happen. But I'm holding on to that. And that's not just going to come easily. Sometimes the very thing that we ask God for, believe God for,
we
find in his word, it can cause pain. And sometimes we can even feel like the promise has turned into punishment.
Yeah.
You know, I think about, you've got five kids, I've got four kids, and every time I know that my wife gets pregnant and we find out from the doctor, it's good news in the house.
Yeah.
You know, we it's kind of like, you know what? The doctor says, you're going to have a baby. We rejoice. We get excited. We put pictures of the sonogram all over Facebook, and we get excited, and we get good news from, you know, all around the world. People are telling us how excited they are. But after several months of that baby being in the womb, it starts to get uncomfortable, doesn't it?
Starts to grow.
You know, I wouldn't know, and you wouldn't
know. You don't
know.
I don't know either.
As I've been told.
Yes, that's right.
You know, after that 5 or 6 months, it starts to get uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And around 7 and 8 months, it's hard for a lady to find a sweet spot to go to sleep. And the thing that seemed like a blessing can feel like a curse.
That's right.
You know, and it's funny, the Bible encourage us with this. And it says in John chapter 16, verse 21, a woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child has been born. See, when the promise comes to fruition, we forget about all the pain from the past. And it seems like if we could just hold on to the promise until we see the promise being fulfilled, all the pain, all the disappointment, all the naysayers, it'll all be worth it when we see God's word come to fruition.
This is why when you get this promise, you have to go to Jesus. Because it's his power. Listen, as you come into the new year, there's nothing special about the calendar going from December to January 2017. There's nothing special about that. But what you and I can receive really is a new power to look at things in our life and saying, God, I'm not turning it over a new leaf. That's conform and reform. God, I want to be transformed. God, I want you to transform my life, my situation. God, I'm trusting in you for this new year. This is where we're taking hold of him like never before.
So good.
Like never before. See, here's the thing about this life that we're living in and what we're talking about today. As you are motivated and empowered by not what's happening, but what has happened, what we're doing is we're actually creating or developing really a story to tell, Pastor Richard.
That's right.
And get this. This is the great thing. Not just on this side of eternity, but when we get to heaven. Our stories go with us when we go to heaven. See, I think about crazy things like this. When we get into heaven, we're going to get to talk to the saints of old. I want to get to go up to the Apostle Paul and be like, Paul, man, what is up? It is so good to see you.
He'd be like, ¿Qué pasa, mi amigo?
I mean, I'm going to be like, Paul, I've read so much about you. Man, it's so good to meet you. And Paul's going to be like,
we've been watching you too.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, man, what's up, Lance? See, it's not like, listen, everything we do on this side does not go away. It's not like we forget all of our memories. No, they go with us into eternity. And so this is the crazy things I think about. I'm going to get to go up to the Apostle Paul or Peter or any King David, Abraham, any saints of old. I'm going to get to go up to him and actually have conversation with them. And I'm going to be like, hey, Paul, man, listen, I've read, how did you make it? Man, you were in jail. Can you tell me your story? Paul's going to tell me his story. Man, he might not say man, but I was trusting God. And he's going to look at me and say, Lance, now tell me your story.
I was waiting for my light bill to get paid.
Yeah, I mean,
God came through.
Paul, hold on. You've been beaten, bruised for the gospel. My story, you're exactly right. One day I couldn't believe God for my food, but Lord, you should. See, God, he's going to look at me and, hey, Lance, what's your story? And I want to be able to look at Paul in the eye and say, man, you know what, Paul? My marriage was struggling. I didn't know what to do. I was frustrated. But God gave me greater grace. I trusted in him. Or maybe it's, you know what, Paul? I lost my wife. I lost my husband. My dad passed away, my mom. But you know what? I was mad at God. Man, Paul, I know, man, you had to be mad at God sometimes. You were going through all that, doing all that. He's like, yeah, I was like that too. But you know what I just found? God just showed up in a mighty way. See, I don't want you to feel condemned today because you may be, man, Pastor Liz, I made mistakes. That's okay. God forgives us. Your story is a story of redemption.
That's right.
You know what, Paul? I went through a divorce. It was tough. But then God brought me this other man, this other woman. Man, we did great. What's our story going to be? We have an opportunity to build that story, to trust God. But it all comes from, again, what's happened. What has God spoken? Not what's happening. Let's get our minds off what's happening. Guys, when we're in the flesh, this is all we focus on. I'm the same way. It's so easy because what is happening, it gets in the way. It clogs up God, seeing God clearly. God wants to wipe the mud away today and say, I know it's not everything it can be. Keep believing. Keep pressing.
That's right.
Keep persevering.
That's right.
You know, one of the things that I love about Pastor Richard. Do you have something else you want to say after I said that, Champ?
Champ, I did.
Go ahead.
You're so perceptive.
I don't want to interrupt you.
That was the Holy Spirit.
I know. I
messing
felt
with
it.
You.
I felt it.
You know, as you were talking about that, it made me think for a lot of us, we feel like our life could be like a country song. You know, my wife left me. My dog left me. The bills can't get paid. Foreclosed. All that kind
yeah.
of stuff. But you know what? That is not the end of your story.
Oh, I love that. Good.
You know, because in the Word of God, there were people who faced hard times. You look at Joseph and Mary. See, the thing that we have an advantage over them and over everyone in the Bible is we know the end of the story. See, when you look at the Bible, you're reading real time what people thought, felt, and what they said. And they didn't have the advantage to see what the next chapter looked
so good.
Like. They didn't get to see what happened at the end of the Bible. But we have this beautiful thing called our vantage point in history, where we can look back over all that God has done and know what the end is going to look
Hallelujah.
Like.
Good.
And you know, it's kind of like this old guy that passed away. His name was Paul Harvey. He said, now you know the rest of the story.
Yeah.
See, we have the vantage point. We know the rest of the story. We know that at the end of the book, Jesus won. He overcame hell. He overcame the grave. And he can overcome
Woo!
Any problem, any
yeah.
situation, any dysfunction in our life. Can somebody say amen to
amen.
That?
Amen.
And you know what? Because he won, we also win. Because we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And because he has the victory, we have the victory.
So no matter where we're at in our story,
that's exactly right.
We got another day, don't we?
Don't give up.
The reason why I was going into what I talked about, Pastor Richard, the reason I love Pastor Richard, no, first of all, because he's so handsome. Champ, you looking strong.
You said that kind of weird.
Well.
You said he's so handsome.
I like have man love for your beard, Champ. It's looking so good, man.
I like that. Yeah.
Looking good.
Thank you. That's weird. Let's go on. Move along. Nothing to see here.
I can't grow a beard. It looks awful. But the reason why I love Pastor Richard is because what he just talked about, see, it's not just we do that for our lives. When it comes to our story, but we can also help others redeem their story.
Yeah.
Pastor Richard, he's kind of shared, he's been very open and honest about his relationship with his dad and how his dad was never there for him. And this goes along with what Joseph faced, because again, you think about Joseph, the Bible tells us that he could have divorced her quietly.
Yeah.
And that's the temptation. The temptation is, God, you've spoken, but yet it's not happening. Therefore, Lord, I'm giving up. Now, remember, Joseph was a just man, meaning he was right with God. But yet, in his heart, something was happening. See, that shows us that we can be in church, we can serve, we can
right.
give, we do all the churchy things. But in our heart, we begin to divorce the promise of God quietly. Our spouse may never know, our child, our friends. But yet in us, it's like, God, it's not going to happen. Joseph had every right to divorce her. He could have legally gotten a divorce. But yet he chose, again, not on what is happening, but what has happened, what was spoken to him. And the reason why I thought about Pastor Richard as I was thinking about Joseph is because Pastor Richard's dad was never there for him. Never. didn't show up to games, didn't pay child support. And Pastor Richard's dad, about 2 years ago, went through a massive stroke. Pretty much can't talk anymore, correct, Pastor Richard?
Can't move half his body, and he can't talk.
He was in West Tennessee at a Veterans VA hospital, and we got him moved.
Nursing home.
We got him moved now here in Clarksville, which is a huge miracle. But here's what I love is that Pastor Richard is rewriting his dad's story for his grandchildren. This is so powerful. Because Pastor Richard has every right to be frustrated, be angry. But yet what he is doing is he is taking his father's inheritance. And he's beginning to do certain things for his father's grandchildren. That when they get a certain age, he'll be able to give them gifts saying, man, this was from your granddaddy. I know he's not here anymore because we don't really know how much longer he's going to hang on. But he's not just doing it for Pastor Richard's. Pastor's not just doing it for his own children, but he's also doing it for his daddy's other grandchildren. He's sending money once a month to them, doing things to redeem his father's name. I think that is so powerful. Because just because you have the right to do something doesn't mean, Pastor Richard, you should always do it.
Yeah, and first of all, it's not because I'm a nice guy. I'm not really that nice.
Yeah, you are, bro.
No, I'm not. It's because I realized how much I had been forgiven. I was not a good guy. I tell my kids all the time, Daddy had a bad heart until Jesus came in his heart.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about that story to me, and whatever situations that we may find ourselves in, our story's not over yet. And I really look at this as a tangible example of God's grace. Now, grace is different than mercy. Mercy is holding back what we deserve, but grace is giving you something
that
you
so
haven't
good.
Earned.
Yes.
And you were right. My dad doesn't deserve anything that I could give him. I mean, matter of fact, you talked about I could have been bitter. I was.
Yeah.
I was angry. I was bitter. I did feel like he deserved nothing. But God changed my heart, and now the cool thing is now God is changing his story. His story, his legacy could be awful.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about how many dads that were what our society calls as deadbeat, what their legacy is,
right.
Kids that hate them, little boys that grow up not wanting to be like their dad.
Yeah.
But what God has done is he's taken this story that could be so horrible and so tragic, and he's redeeming
Ooh.
It. See, the thing is no matter what your story is or no matter where you feel like you are in your story, and your story could be a relationship, it could be a finances, it could be a marriage,
yeah.
God can redeem
Thank
anything.
You, Lord. Yes.
And the cool thing about it is my dad has no idea what I'm doing behind the
right.
scenes and truly what God is doing behind the scenes.
Come on, let's give God a hand clap. That's tremendous.
Without him lifting a finger or even knowing about it, God is carving a legacy that would be honorable for my dad.
That's tremendous. Evan, you can come on up, my friend. Guys, we want to pray for you today because we want to pray really that you, this Christmas season, again, and coming into this new year, because that you're not being controlled by what's happening, good or bad, but what has happened. And that each of us today, because for every one of us, there's a next step. As we get into January, we're going to talk more about this. We're going to be talking about a fresh start, coming into God's fullness in 2017. There's another step for every one of us of greater growth, God fulfilling his promise. Because again, it's not just as Pastor Richard just said, not just for us, it's for others. But today, I'm praying, my prayer is today that God would give you once again the power to believe. Just like my little brother running in that room, I believe. See, we believe in somebody greater than Santa. We believe in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But all the time, we just get so, because life is difficult, life is painful. I don't want to trust again because I want to get my heart hurt. That's not what being a believer is all about. It's about stepping out saying, God, man, I've had some failure. God, I've been let down just a little bit. But Lord, again, by your grace, I lean into you and I trust you like never before. Pastor Rich, why don't you pray for us?
Father, we thank you, God. We thank you, God, that you've given each one of us a story. And I thank you, God, that no matter where we find ourselves in the story, no matter what chapter we feel like we're in or even how we feel like the story is going, I thank you that you're not done with it.
Yes.
I thank you, God, that even though we may have made the wrong choices, maybe even like my dad, things that you wish you could do over again, And even though we can't relive certain parts of our life, God, ultimately our story is in your hands. Father, I believe today that there are people in this room that just want to give their story over to you.
Yes.
Good. They want to hand the book of their life over to you and say, God, I made a mess of things. I don't know how. There are things that I can't redeem. I can't change. I can't make right. But I thank you that we serve a God who has all power, all authority. He grants us this amazing thing called grace.
Thank you, Lord.
The thing you can't earn, the thing you can't give your way out of, the thing you can't change in yourself, our God offers us grace on top of grace. And I thank you, Lord, today that there are friends in here that need your grace. Father, I pray even now, God, for everyone here who wants that grace. Father, I pray that you would pour it out lavishly.
Yes.
You would pour out grace enough, Father, for their heart to change, grace enough for their story to change. Father, and I thank you that their story is not in their hands. Their story is in your hands. Father, I pray even now for the reconciliation of family relationships.
Yes, yes, Lord.
Reconciliations of marriages, reconciliation, God, for the thing that seemed so lost, even for family members that didn't believe in them, that call them the black sheep of the family. God, I pray for you to redeem everything that the enemy has tried to destroy in their lives in Jesus.
God, I'm asking you right now, God, that you would give us simply the power to believe once again. The power to believe. As we come into Christmas, as we come into the new year, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God a big hand clap. Thank you so much, Pastor Richard. You know, as a church, guys, it's really our responsibility not just to receive hope, but to give hope. And what we do every Christmas is we receive a Christmas offering, really to give hope to others in our community and around the world. And this year, we have three things that we're really focusing on. First off, our goal in our Christmas offering this year is to $10,000 we want to receive. And every dollar that we receive, we want to give it. And what we're giving to is three key ministries this year. Number one is our mission is Mission of Grace. They're a ministry in the nation of Haiti that is really providing hope to families and children. There's an orphanage there. And as you guys know, 2 months ago, there was a hurricane. It's all right, bud. There was a Hurricane Matthew that came through that nation and destroyed a lot of homes. You guys can see these pictures on screen. And what we're doing is we're going to be able to give, as we give into this ministry, we're going to be able to provide a brand new home for a family right there in that nation. What a great opportunity. Also, guys, in our community, there's a ministry called Prison Fellowship, and they provide Christmas for children whose parents are incarcerated. And so we're going to be able to bring hope to these kids. As their families have been taken away, we're going to be able to provide hope for them and give them a great Christmas. And also right here in our own backyard, right here at Bethel, Angel Tree. We have a ministry called Angel Tree that really helps with families that kind of need a little help at Christmas time, which is great because that's why you have a church family. So all these offerings are going to go to these three ministries. If you guys, if you're making a check, you can make it out to Bethel. I'd like to give cash. There's an envelope. You go online and give at BethelCommunity.Church. We're going to receive the offering today, Christmas Eve, and on Christmas Day. So our time really is coming to an end to receive this offering. So really hope that you give something to this offering to help us bless these three ministries. Father, thank you for the opportunity to give. Lord, bless our giving, and God, help us to reach our goal to be a blessing to these ministries. In Jesus' name, amen. Night that was so Great job, praise team.